So now that the Talmud quoted Natan de Tzutzita, we'll quickly go over the story that's recorded in Sefer Masiyot. There's a storybook written by Rav Nisim Gaon. Rav Nisim Gaon lived in the generation after the Talmud, and his father-in-law had suffered personal tragedies, and so his father-in-law asked him, write me a storybook, so I'll have encouragement, even though I'm having all these tragedies. So he wrote him a storybook and gathered the stories from all over the Shas and Midrashim, and some of the stories he writes, we don't know what the source was. Maybe he had them on tradition. Most of the stories we know the source for. If you're curious, it's all online. We learned the whole book twice here in the Machon, and it's all recorded, it's all online. Sefer Masiyot, you could look it up, 123Torah.com. You could hear all the stories, and there's a lot of Jewish philosophy in that book. So one of the stories he quotes is the story of Natan de Tzutzita, Natan who had a shine. And before we start the story, we'll quickly go over a halacha. It says in Tractate Trumos, at the end of Tractate Trumos, that if non-Jews come to a Jewish caravan and they say, give us some of your food, we're going to defile it. You're not supposed to give it. If they come and say, give us one of your women, we're going to defile her. They're not supposed to give them. Give us one of your men, we're going to kill them. You're not supposed to give them. They say, we're going to kill all of you if you don't give us that person. You're not supposed to give over a Jew. They say, we're going to defile all the women if you don't give us one of them. You're not supposed to give over a Jew. What happens if they say, we want that person? Not volunteer someone, but rather we want that person. So then it says you could give him, and there's an argument in Talmud. When it says you could give him, does it mean if that person is obligated the death penalty? The guy stole from them. So by Roman law, let's say he was supposed to get the death penalty. Now he's endangering the whole caravan. Is it only then? He rebelled against the king. Is it only then that you're allowed to give him over? Or is it even if they have no good reason for pointing him out and saying we want him, you're supposed to give him over and not endanger the rest of the caravan? Two opinions in Talmud. In the Medrash Rabbah, it quotes, I think it was Rabbi Yoshua, I'm not sure, or Rabbi Yossi, one of the rabbis in the north had a Roman legion come and surround his town, and they said, we're going to kill all of you if you don't give over this bandit who's hiding in your town. And the bandit was a Jew. So the rabbi convened the court, and he said, gentlemen, Halacha says he has fought against the Roman Empire, he has done things that they're legitimate in wanting to kill him. We don't have to give up our lives and rather than give him over. So he took the bandit and gave him over to the Romans and they executed him. This rabbi would learn on a steady basis with Eliyahu, and Eliyahu stopped coming. And then after a long time, Eliyahu shows up and he says to Eliyahu, why'd you stop coming? And he says, why'd you give a Jew to be killed? And he said, but that's not halacha, I did it. I did what it says in halacha. So he said, it's a very nice halacha. That doesn't mean it's a pious thing to do. You shouldn't be the one to do that. Not every halacha you have to be the one to perform. Let someone else give him over. So that's in a nutshell, the story of giving over a Jew to the authorities. Now, the extension of this that's ruled in the Rambam rules the following. What happens if the doctors tell us so-and-so is sick? The only way he'll be cured is if he could sleep with this Jewish girl. So we tell him, drop that. What happens if the doctors say, let him just see her undressed? So we say, he could drop dead. What if they say, let him just talk to her behind the fence? Let him drop dead. We don't let Jewish women be immodest or just their honor be taken away just because the doctor said that so-and-so is going to die if he doesn't have the opportunity to breach the laws of modesty. Now this halacha and Rambam, so now we have the background to what we're going to learn. So the story that's quoted in Rav Nisim Gaon was that there was once a very wealthy man in town, his name was Natan. And there was another guy who had a beautiful wife, and Natan fell in love with her. And he came along and he said, you know, I'd love to marry your wife. And he says, well, she's my wife, you know, go fly a kite. And Natan, day and night, was going crazy over her. And he reached a point where he became sick, and he became deathly ill. And the doctors came, and they said to the person, you know, if you don't let him sleep with your wife, he's going to die. So the rabbi said, tell Natan to drop dead. And then the doctors came in a little bit later, and they said, you know what, let him just see her immodestly, and That'll help him be cured. And the rabbi said, let Natan drop dead. And then they said, let her just come and talk to him, and that'll help him get better. And the rabbi said, let Natan drop dead. And so this is the story that Rav Nissim Gaon quotes. And the story continues. One day, this woman's husband had tremendous debts, and he couldn't pay them off. And Natan had offered him a ton of money, and then he was imprisoned because he shorted on all his debts, and he was suffering terribly in prison. And every day, his wife would bring him food and drink. And one day, he tells her, "I can't handle this anymore. I'm here in prison. Go to Natan, and we'll get all the money." And she says, "What's wrong with you? How could you tell me to do such a thing? A person should rather die than commit adultery. What, are you crazy? No way, you're nuts. I'm not doing such a thing." And she storms out of the prison and she doesn't come back. And the next day he has no food. She doesn't bring him food. And finally when she comes, a day or two later, he's half dead. And he says, "How could you do this to me? I got no food. I got no drink if not for you." And she says, "How could you do this to me? How could you tell me to go to Natan?" And he tells her, "But I'm dying here. I'm going to die." So she doesn't know what to do. She brings him to eat. She brings him to drink. And finally, she says, "Look, you're telling me to do it. I don't know what to say, but I don't want you to die." So she gets herself all ready, and she goes to Natan's house. She knocks on the gate. The servant sees her. He can't believe it's her. He runs into the house. He says, "Natan, you won't believe it. She's standing outside." Natan says, "You're right. I don't believe it. But if it's true, you're free." She comes, he lets her in, she knocks on the front door, the servant sees her, he runs, he says, "Natan, you won't believe me, but that woman is standing at the front door." Natan says, "You're right, I don't believe you, but if it's true, you're also free." They bring her in, she stands at the entrance to the room, and Natan's lying in bed, and he sees her, and he can't believe what he's seeing. So there she is, and here Natan is lying in bed ill, and we'll continue Bezachem after Ma'ariv.